It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew. We're in the sixth chapter, Matthew chapter 6, and we're what you would call the Lord's Prayer. And so we're down in the ninth verse there, so please that you would open your Bibles and be prepared for the reading here shortly. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us here at the church, 217-847-2717. That's area code 217-847-2717. If you'd like to check out our website, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org, and you'll find many studies. We have the radio programs are listed there. Sunday messages are listed there. And so please that you would look to the website and enjoy it and come to know the Lord Jesus and then grow in the Lord Jesus through that website. And if you'd like to email us, you could do that at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com, whichever you would like to use. And we'd love to hear from you. Matthew chapter 6, now we'll begin the reading. Matthew chapter 6, beginning to read with verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we're going to end with the reading there, and we'll begin with the prayer and then start the study. Again, I'm sure glad that you've joined us today. Father, please guide and lead us through your precious word. It's always a joy to open up your precious word and begin the study. And as we have talked in the past weeks that we have been together, that this here is a prayer that should not be recited as we read it here. It is to be an outline. It is to help us to pray properly, but not in repetition as so many do. I enjoy reading it as it is as well, but I also understand and use it for its real purpose, and that is to be a good prayer warrior, and it teaches us what to look forward to, how to pray. And so I hope that this helps as we continue to enjoy this study today. And so please, Father, just guide and lead us as we enjoy it. It's your precious, precious word, and we're here to learn and to honor and glorify your name. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. And it begins, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's as far as we had gotten. And so hallow, of course, means his name is holy, and we should esteem him holy anywhere and everywhere. He deserves and should receive due honor from all men. We know that he does not. We are to worship God, and we are to express our desires that God be praised and honored and glorified above all, because he is above all. So we need to enjoy that and understand that. And so we find that our Father and is in heaven, his home, art hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Now, we're going to spend quite a bit of time with this, because I'm going to ask you about this kingdom. Is it the kingdom of God, or is it the kingdom of heaven? Which is it? Is it the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven? Thy kingdom come. When we look at this word kingdom, you'll find that in the Greek it means literally kingdom or reign or kingship. So we could read, Thy reign come. The Jews on this day expected their king to come and to rule and to reign from the throne of David. That is what they were looking for. That's what they were expecting. We've got a couple of verses of Scripture here that we're going to go to. We're going to be in a lot of Scripture today. And so I hope that you have the opportunity to have your Bibles open and prepare for the study. We're going to go to the Gospel of Mark. We're in the Gospel of Matthew right now. We'll go to the Gospel of Mark. Mark, the 15th chapter, verse 43. Mark, chapter 15, verse 43. And Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Now we also can go to Luke chapter 23, verse 51. Chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Verse 51, referred to the kingdom of God. Let's look at Luke 23:51. The same had not consented to the counsel and the deeds of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself waited for the kingdom of God. So we have here waited for the kingdom of God. So it would seem clear that all the Lord's hearers referred especially to the introduction of his kingdom on earth. Is this the visible kingdom, or is this the spiritual kingdom within the heart of every believer? There's the difference. There is a spiritual kingdom, and there is a literal kingdom. The literal kingdom will come at the end of the tribulation period, and he will set his kingdom up. They were looking for that. That's what the Jews all along were looking for, the literal kingdom. But right now we are in the spiritual kingdom. So let's take a look. So is this the visible kingdom or the spiritual kingdom that comes within the hearts of the believers? Let's see if the Word of God will direct us and tell us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Beginning to read with the 20th verse. We're going to read all the way down to verse 28. So please that you follow along here carefully. If you're unable to read it with us, just listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 15. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. For then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he said saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that putteth all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now, this shows beyond any shadow of a doubt that the kingly rule of Almighty God in His Son is going to be the final salvation's history, the final point of history, in order that God may be all in all. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is the real theme of the Word of God. Let's look at Luke, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Let's look at the kingdom of God. You probably never even thought that there was anything between the two. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. One is a spiritual kingdom that every born-again believer, you have come by faith to Jesus Christ, trust that He had died on the cross of Calvary for you, and you said yes when the Spirit of God convicted your heart of your sin and said yes to the invitation that was given to you of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. You trusted in the victory that was won on the cross of Calvary, the resurrection, not only forgiveness of sins, but also to have life. That's one of the kingdoms. The other is a literal kingdom when Jesus, King Jesus, will set His kingdom up here and rule and reign. And so we have two, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Now, Luke chapter 17. Verse 20 and 21, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Oh, do we understand now the kingdom of God? Let's look to Romans, Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Those two references clearly show us that the kingdom of God is the one that's within our hearts. We are a part of the kingdom of God now. Look back to Luke. Let's look concerning the kingdom of heaven. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and 33. Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and 33. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. That's the literal kingdom. This is to the place, the time, before the Jews have rejected the Lord Jesus. they were given and told of that kingdom. Let's go back to the book of Daniel. What could that Old Testament prophet tell us about this? Well, let's see. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, verses 34, 35, and then 44. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out with hands, without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That is giving us a summary as what's going to take place at the Battle of Armageddon. All enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ will be put down. Every kingdom, king, president, official that stands against the Lord Jesus Christ will be put down. And he will come and rule and reign. This is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. If you had a question or a doubt of what I just said, I believe that takes care of it. Daniel, chapter 7. Verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. So, as we go back to Matthew now, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, is referring to the kingdom of heaven. It will be set up after the return of the king in all his glory. He will return with his bride, with all the holy angels. And that will take place at the end of the tribulation. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So you see, there is a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. I hope that you have learned something today, because the kingdom of God is present today. The kingdom of heaven is something that's coming. And that those words tell us very clearly. So, after this manner, therefore, ye pray, our Father. You must know him as your Lord and Savior to call him Father. You must come by faith, the Lord Jesus. Without knowing Jesus, you cannot know the Father, which art in heaven, proclaims his name, his home. Hallowed be thy name. Oh, dear Father, we lift up your name with the highest thought, highest regard, because you are holy, the only holy one. There is nothing here that is holier than thou. There is nothing here that compares to you, because you are almighty. That's the way we need to pray. And then pray that, yes, we are a part of the kingdom of God, but pray that the kingdom come. Please, dear Lord, that you'll put down evil and come and set up your kingdom here, that we can rule and reign with you. What a joy. What an opportunity. And Father, please, that as your will is in heaven, let it be here. Let us have that wonderful, perfect will. Please, dear Father, please. Kingdom of God is now. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God is present. He is present in my heart. The Holy Spirit came to live within my heart. What a joy, what a wonderful opportunity for us to walk each day serving Him, learning, having the great teacher within my heart to study His precious Word, to learn and to look and to teach. And it's just such a joy. The kingdom of God is now. But as we found back in 1 Corinthians, and let's go back there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, very quickly, and then we'll continue. Now you hear the pages moving, so you know that I am searching the Word of God. It's good for us to know the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, comes all the way down to verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all the rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it shall manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. That is when it goes from the kingdom of God to the kingdom of heaven, when everything is put all in all. What wonderful God may be all in all. What wonderful words there. Now, we continue, and it tells us, give us this day our daily bread. That's the next section here. You know, we talked about at the very beginning of this that there are the first three petitions in the prayer is all to the glory of God. And it all should be that the chief part. We most of the time go immediately to our needs. Give us my daily bread. Give me what I need. Give me those things. And instead of that, we should be praising our God. Because again, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Those three petitions should be the first and foremost. And then comes my needs. Only after I have full respect and speak and praise God, give us our daily bread, please. Give me my needs. Give me my needs. Not my wants. Oh, you can ask for a lot of things. But after you have lifted up and after you're looking for His return. Now, there's two returns here. the opening up and the time of the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of God. He is going to come and get his church, but not until 7 years later will we come with him. And his enemies will be destroyed, as we read back in Daniel. And then we will walk into the kingdom of heaven. What a joy to walk with the Lord Jesus each day, to know him, to serve him. And once we have acknowledged and think of his coming and praise his name, that he is victorious and his power is almighty, there's nothing that he cannot carry out that is of his desire and need, then we bring those short little words. Give us this day our daily bread. It doesn't say, give me this month, this year. Give me what I need for my lifetime so I can finally retire and go have some fun. Today, give me my daily need. Give us this day our daily bread. There's no problem with making plans for tomorrow. There's no problem with looking forward into that. But the problem comes is that when we make so many plans for anything and everything, that we leave out the service to our God. We need to set time aside to pray unto him, to honor him and glorify him. We need to set time aside to pray for others, for our family members that are lost, for the family members that have went wayward, the family members that aren't serving. We need to lift up our voices to our friends and brothers and sisters in Christ that have physical needs and spiritual needs, and we need to lift them up and pray for them. And we need to do that. And then we come to our daily bread. It's last. It's the end. It's not something that should come first, but most of the time, oh, Father, please, I need this. Give me this. I have to have this. And please, please, that we do not pray that way. But we pray in this manner. And that's what it says. After this manner, therefore, it's not saying that you pray it word for word. It's to be something that's greatly thought about and thought out. And we notice clearly the first three petitions are not about you or not about me. They're about our relationship with our God that we should lift up. And so when we look at that, and the next is, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now we're going to spend a lot of time in that the next couple of weeks here in bringing this together. But I want you to think about what we have already studied before you get to that place that you're laying out all of your wants before the Lord. And then questioning him why he's not giving you those wants. See that those wants are brought into needs, things that the Lord can be honored and glorified with. So when we look at this, give us this day, today, pray for today's needs, that he give us those needs. And those needs are not only physical, but it also should be spiritual needs. Give me the open door to share the gospel with someone. Tell someone about Jesus. My dear friend, What are you going to do about Jesus?